This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. The big event for President Obama on Monday, as well as Tuesday here in the nation's capital, is a nuclear summit involving leaders from dozens of nations around the world. The key goal, reducing the number of nuclear weapons and specifically keeping them out of the hands of radical terrorist organizations. We've been out to talk about whether this summit will actually accomplish much, though, is Colonel Bob McGinnis, U.S. Army retired. He's now a senior strategist with the U.S. Army. And, Colonel, it's always great to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Greg.
Well, this is part of a string of events the president has been promoting in recent days to focus on the nuclear issue, changing the U.S. nuclear policy, signing an updated START treaty with the Russians last week in Prague. And now, of course, this major summit here in Washington. Is the main goal here to get other countries to reduce their numbers, or is it mainly to try and make sure they know and can account for all of their weapons?
Well, it's certainly the announced part of the agenda. They want to secure the fissile material. And of course, UN Security Council Resolution 1540, which calls for the preventing nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons or technologies from falling into rogue or non-state actor hands. Now, that's really the long definition as to what they want to accomplish. And, of course, that's a very difficult task. There's a lot of fissile material all over the world at various levels of enrichment. And, of course, the Russians have promised to try to, you know, take some of this and to, you know, make it worthless at a cost. And we, of course, may end up paying a part of that cost.
Is there any way to count or know how many weapons we believe still exist that aren't accounted for?
Well, not really. Of course, 90% or so of all those weapons belong to two countries, United States and Russia. The balance belong to a handful of states. Those that perhaps have purchased those weapons on the sly, it's hard to know exactly where they might be.
The president, as well as the French president and some other leaders, of course, have been trying to talk the Iranians out of pursuing their own nuclear program. Iran is not part of this summit, but to what extent will that be a major subject at this week's event?
Well, it certainly will be in the bilateral discussions. I know that Angela Merkel from Germany will be talking with President Obama, and that's one of a couple of topics. He'll talk Afghanistan as well as the whole nuclear proliferation in Iran with her, because the Germans have opposed taking certain types of actions. And, of course, he's already spoken with Dmitry Medvedev, who's the Russian president, as you mentioned, last week in Prague when he signed the Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty. Israel's prime minister, of course, is not here, Benjamin Netanyahu, and to a large degree it's because of the chilled relationship with the United States, and also because a lot of the Arab countries would beat up on Israel, calling for them to announce publicly the existence of their nuclear arsenal, but they're not going to do that. And of course, they feel intimidated to a certain degree because the United States has failed to take the harsh action they promised a year ago when Netanyahu met with Obama in the White House.
A couple of things to follow up on there, Colonel. First of all, given all the bilateral talks, we saw, first of all, the Ukraine today agreeing to give up its enriched uranium. What will be considered a victory at this summit, and what will be considered a disappointment?
Well, I think a victory on the front page will be that any nations that have fissile material and surrender it, that will be good news. But I don't expect that it's the public things that are making a difference. It's these behind-the-scenes things, such as the Chinese president, Su Jintao, will be here in town, and we're trying to sidetrack what they're doing with regard to currency manipulation. That's a big story, but it's being downplayed because we don't embarrass the Chinese while they're in town. They'll talk about, of course, North Korea proliferation, which will be an issue, and one that we have because we're often talked about as being the target of North Korean proliferation and their threatening moves.
Let me follow up on the point you made about Israel and the deteriorating relationship there. You and I have talked about that before. What's the next step in that relationship since Netanyahu decided not to appear at this particular conference? Where will we see whether this relationship is improving or becoming increasingly frayed?
It would seem to me that the relationship is frayed to a large degree because of the tension between the Palestinians and the Israelis. The Palestinians think they have a free pass, and therefore I really think it's quite possible to see renewed violence in certainly the West Bank and even perhaps in Gaza. And that may be an unfortunate consequence of this. Keep in mind, last June, the president was in Cairo and said he wanted to redefine, almost used the term reset, but he uses that, of course, with Russia, but redefine the relationship with the Muslim world. And the Palestinians felt emboldened. And since that time, the relationship between Israel and the United States has gone downhill radically because they feel as if they're the only ones making accommodation, and the Arabs and their Palestinian allies seem to be taking advantage of that new cozy relationship with President Obama to really stick it to the Israelis.
Is the ultimate showdown here going to come over Iran in the coming weeks, perhaps even months?
Well, I think Israel either has to accept the fact that the United States is not going to take the necessary sanctions or military action to stop Iran from acquiring a weapon should it desire to do so. And that, of course, Israel considers it an existential threat to their existence, and it's questionable whether or not they have the means to take a sufficient action to limit Iran's capabilities to develop a weapon. So I don't know if it's a couple weeks, but it's certainly the time is short if Tehran decides to move forward, because even our director of national intelligence, Dennis Blair, said here recently that Iran has all the components to make a weapon. It's just a matter of time that they'll have one.
Well, frightening to think about. We'll see what happens next on that front. Colonel, it's always great to have you with us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Retired U.S. Army Colonel Bob McGinnis, now a senior strategist with the U.S. Army. I'm Greg Corumbus at Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.